Clarity Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather. Since my man and I ain't together, keeps raining all of the time. Oh yeah, life is bad. And I just can't get my poor self together. Oh, I'm weary all of the time.
Oh yeah, a little bit of stormy weather. We got a lot of stormy weather right now. We're worried about something called Hurricane Ian. It's bearing down on Florida. It doesn't look like we're going to get away from it. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I'm barricaded inside our studio in Clearwater right now. And along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. Right now, Ed, it looks nice and calm outside. We got blue skies.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't think that we got a little bit of concern. When is the, for people in Florida, Ed, when is that hurricane scheduled to be in the, let's say, be in the neighborhood?
Well, I think you can see the Weather Channel right now is on Clearwater Beach, and it looks beautiful, and people around the nation going, what's the problem? You know?
Exactly.
But the thing is, this thing hasn't even hit Cuba yet. So the timeline is that tonight into tomorrow morning, things are going to start going south, because the rain and
actually
the wind
going
will
north
start,
in this case. Go ahead.
Well, as we say, going south, meaning
I know.
The conditions is going to start to deteriorate.
Right.
We're going to have things like bridges will be shut down. Of course, the Sunshine Skyway will be the first one. So there's a lot of stuff that'll be
going on. Is this all inevitable that we're going to shut all this down?
If the models stay on track, which they have, it will be pretty much a direct hit.
Really?
Yes.
Now, that's a little scary. I thought that we were going to be seeing it, who knows?
Well,
the cone shows that
last
the cone
night,
has the center of
yeah.
it out in the Gulf.
All day yesterday, it had it hitting in the Big Bend area, which is around Tallahassee, up in that area. And then since overnight has jogged to the right, which would include the Bay Area.
Oh,
so
boy.
It could turn again.
We know that.
It could turn again and go
yeah.
even in south of us, and that would be great for us. Sorry for Fort Myers and places, the Punta Gorda and stuff, but you know, you got to stay tuned. These things are not, especially
yep.
when it goes over Cuba, it'll slow down and get a little disoriented just a little bit, and it could jog right or left. You never know.
That's right.
So you got to stay tuned.
We know this from our experience here in Florida, that when it goes over an island like Cuba or maybe mm-hmm. Puerto Rico or something like that, it does break up.
Mm-hmm.
But then as it goes gets across the island, normally on a northwesterly trip, it builds up its strength again.
Back into the warm waters.
If it gets into the Gulf of Mexico, that water is warmer than what we would call the Atlantic on
right.
the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are a shallower, more contained, it's almost like we're a swimming pool.
Yes.
And that's when things really can go badly.
By the way, that was Etta James.
Yes.
At the start of the game.
Now, Etta James was a great singer of the 50s. I remember there was another song she sang that, and she had such a melancholy voice, too.
She did that At Last.
That's it.
That's when Obama did his first dance.
At Last.
Ruined that song.
Anyway, we got a lot to talk about. In a few minutes, Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us, and we're going to talk about this new hike in interest rates by the Federal Reserve. Now, is it the right thing to do? Is it going to stave off a recession. Maybe we're already in a recession. So we'll talk with Ryan Young about it. And just 6 weeks now before these off-year November elections, Democrats, all of a sudden Democrats are starting to realize that they are in quicksand on just about every issue of importance to voters. And I'm not talking about just the economic issues. I'm talking about the social issues as well. We're going to take a look at it. And guess what major city is now hiring civilians? Civilians to bolster its police force and stave off crime. We are going to let you know a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. If you listen to us on Friday, we gave you the top 10 states with the worst road rage. So today, the top 10 states with the lowest road rage, a little later in the show. By the way, don't forget to listen to the Senior Voice America program. My buddies, just before our show, in fact, they're on Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Well, we keep our fingers crossed that, you know, a hurricane is something like, you feel so helpless.
Well,
you just feel so helpless. I mean, you go to the store
yeah.
and get your gasoline in your car, and you put up a few boards around your windows, and you decide whether or not you got to take the pets and
right.
the wife and whatever and leave town, you know.
Well, the thing is, you and I, we've been through, we know how to prepare for it. The problem is, or the uncertainty is, all these people that have moved to Florida in the last couple of years or so think that, I heard it's party time when a hurricane comes. They don't know how to prepare for these things.
Yeah.
You know,
and you do not want to go through a hurricane.
Some of them are just going crazy right now, you know, and then the other ones are just loading up on the alcohol and the pizza.
I tell you what, if you've ever been in through any kind of a huge tropical storm, you do not want to go through it. You do not. I mean, not only the flooding, which can be devastating, of course, but your power.
Sure.
You know, the power going off. I remember, even though we've never had a direct hit since a long time ago.
Right.
When the power goes off, and it was off in our place for like a week.
This was 2017.
I'm trying to remember which
year.
2017.
Which
one it was.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just horrible. Just horrible to have it like that. So,
you know, knock wood, that year the station never lost power.
Really?
Yeah.
I may have come over to the station.
I was charging for air conditioning.
Would Lola allow me to bring my two cats over?
Have you seen the dogs?
Yes. I thought they were friendly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we're talking about the fact that Democrats are in quicksand right now, up to their ankles, but they fell in head first. I mean, it's tough out there. Crime has surpassed abortion among Concerns for America, who also say they trust Republicans more than the Democrats to handle the crime issue, giving them the highest lead on the issue in more than 30 years. Now, this is an ABC Washington Post poll. Crime used to be the, the Democrats usually had the upper hand in some cases on the crime issue. But according to the survey, the economy is number one most important issue at 89% of the people polled. Education came in second. Education, a social issue, at 77%. Inflation was 1 point lower at 76%. Did you hear me when I say this? Education is now higher than inflation on this poll. These were the highly important issues for voters. Then at 69% was crime, which has beaten out abortion, which is at 62%. So if Democrats think that the abortion issue is going to save them, they better think again. It is not high on the list of priorities right now. Many other things are. And if you were listening to any of the programs over the weekend, even the media, the major talk shows, you know, on CNN, ABC, NBC, and Fox News, their hosts and their panelists are talking about how Democrats and their midterm messaging heading into this election remain underwater. But they're starting to realize it. I think they're finally seeing. And the border. The border. That, I think, if anything gets people angry, I don't know that it's always the biggest issue, but if anything generates more emotion, more visceral emotion, I think it's the border. Because people go, what is the executive's department? What's their job? Their job is to provide the defense of our country, which partly is maintaining our borders. And I think people are really upset about that, and that will drive a lot of people to the polls. It just will. It just will. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the Fed. They've raised rates again. Ryan Young, Competitive Enterprise Institute, going to tell us whether it's a good or a bad idea.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tee off with On the Tee Florida, Saturdays from 11 to 12 on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. From PGA coverage to putt-putt prowess, On the Tee Florida is a PGA fan and a heck's perfect round of informative, humorous conversation and coverage. Every Saturday, talking golf in Tampa Bay and across the USA. Hit 'em straight with On the Tee Florida, brought to you by Coors Light, Saturdays from 11 to 12.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ole, 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 ole. Ole, 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 ole.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. I was just, my wishing well includes, yes. You know, we have been slowly getting back online here. We suffered a lightning strike a couple of weeks ago, and we're getting better and better all the time, but... there's two things I miss. My cough button. I miss my little cough button. I don't know what happened to it. I guess it must have unhinged itself when we got the lightning strike. And I miss my little light. I have a little lamp I put on the table here. Lets me read my stuff a little bit easier. So on my shopping list, those are two things I'm hoping for. Anyway, we are delighted to have our old buddy Ryan Young join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He is a senior fellow there, focusing on things like trade, antitrust, regulatory reform, and among all of that, of course, the Federal Reserve. And Ryan, welcome back to Freedom Works. I just got to ask you right off the bat. The Fed's raised interest rates again by 0.75 points, 75 basis point. Is it the right thing or the wrong thing to do right now?
It's the right thing to do. That increase is going to put their federal funds rate, which is going to affect mortgages and other related interest rates, up to about 3%. When your core inflation indicators are still north of 6%, that's still an expansionary interest rate. So in 6 weeks when they meet again, they're going to do another increase, and they're going to keep doing that through at least the end of this year and possibly into next year until there's a little bit of a better match there.
Well, I'm looking at the stock market. You're saying it's a better thing to do. I hope you're right about that. Stock market has dipped down under 30,000 points for the first time in a long, long time. Every time they go and raise interest rates, my 401k and everything else gets a lot thinner. I think a lot of people are worried about that. People on fixed incomes are very worried about those kinds of things. So you say that raising the interest rates is going to help. Now, we know that raising interest rates is trying to stop too many dollars chasing too few goods. But It also has the it's a double-edged sword when it comes to home buying and getting loans for cars and, you know, all that kind of a thing. Your thought on that?
That's exactly right. We're in this because the Fed screwed up. Since COVID, the money supply is up 40%, whereas real output is only up 4%. When you have that kind of imbalance, 40% against 4%, you're literally changing the price system. You're changing the exchange rate between dollars and real stuff. So the Fed bungled their COVID response. They're trying to make it right now, but that comes with a price, and that's going to mean higher mortgage payments. It risks recession. It risks a bunch of other things, but you have to do it because the alternative, higher long-term inflation, is actually worse. So I wouldn't worry too much about what markets are doing in the short run. Stock markets always go down when the Fed does the right thing or if Congress actually nixes a spending bill. So that is actually
that's true.
But in the long run, it's very Dow Jones. The Dow Jones, including the Great Depression, has never had a 10-year period where it's lost money. So whatever the short-term volatility, your 401k in the long run is in good shape.
Okay. But
we've got to keep those fundamentals down. That inflation control is part of it.
Fair enough. I heard an economist on the air, and I think it was Art Laffer, you've heard of him, mentioned that rather than this bits and pieces, this water torture by the Fed of, a half a point here and three quarters of a point here and maybe down the road a full point, why not just go and do 2.5% or 3%, get it all over with at one time? We'll get the initial shock and then we will start to adjust. But this is almost like a drip, drip, drip. What do you think about that?
It's because the Fed is trying for a soft landing. I personally am more like Laffer in that I think they should just do it and get it over with because it has to be done anyway. And in fact, that's what the Fed did the last time they successfully fought inflation 40 years ago when Paul Volcker was the chair. Inflation peaked at about just under 15%. And he had the federal funds rate at 20% at the peak to really fight it. We're looking at 3% and people are grousing about it. It used to be 20. So if that little bit of context helps, yes. I have been saying that the Fed should be more aggressive, and that is a very good example of why.
Now, why aren't they? They must hear the same thing you and I are talking about. Why don't they consider doing that? Are they afraid of a reaction? I mean, and then they come out and say, yes, you know, we thought it was going to be short-term inflation, and we got it wrong. I mean, they're being honest about that, but sometimes being honest makes people a little bit worried that you don't know what you're doing.
Well, that's its own honesty, isn't it?
I mean, the truth is nobody really knows. But let me ask you this. And by the way, again, we're talking with Ryan Young from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. What do you think of the Federal Reserve Chairman? Do you think he's got a handle on doing the right thing?
I think he's better in private than he is in public. One of the main things that we're pressing here is that the reason we got into this mess and the reason the Fed was able to grow the money supply by 40% is because they have almost unlimited discretion. So we're pushing to bind them to a rule. You know, if the economy grows 2%, then the Fed grows the monetary stock by some preset matching amount. So that way, when a crisis hits, whether it's COVID or a financial crisis or something, the Fed cannot overreact and cause the problems that we're seeing right now that are a result of their crisis response. He's hostile to that publicly. Privately, he's a lot better. He even has said that in private, they take certain rule ideas, and there are lots of different ones, into account heavily when they're making their decisions. He just won't commit to binding the Fed strictly. So he knows the score. He just doesn't necessarily always want to play the game. So he could be better, yes, but he could also be much worse.
Do you think the Biden administration is happy with his performance? Is he in any kind of conflict with what he is doing and what they want? They're scared silly right now because November's coming up, and people are looking at all of this trouble with the economy. So what do you think the Biden administration thinks of the Fed right now?
I think they have mixed feelings. The Fed is getting inflation under control, which is good, but it's not necessarily on a timeline that the administration likes. I mentioned earlier that the Fed is going for a soft landing. That's why they're not being as aggressive as they could be. Politics is another factor. They're being slow in part because the administration wants them to. The Fed does have a freer hand now than it did under the previous administration, but politics still plays a factor. But the administration wants them to be less aggressive still. They can put up with inflation because part of what that means is their massive trillion-dollar spending bills, when interest rates are low, it's cheaper to pay them back. When Chairman Powell raised the rates, and when he raises them again in the future, every time he does that, it gets more expensive to pay back government debt, and it gets harder and harder for Congress to pass new spending bills. So there is some tension there.
Oh, that would think so. So, Ryan, are we really in a recession now? I mean, people is anybody arguing that we're not in a recession? It sure feels like we are.
At this point, it's a word game, so my answer is I don't care. We have economic problems, and we need to solve them. Inflation's too high. Let's get on it. Congress is spending too much. Let's get on that. Whether you not use the R word, I don't care. Let's solve the problem.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I think that's true. I think everybody feels there is this malaise. The word malaise, I'm old enough to remember when Jimmy Carter was president, and you were talking a little earlier about the fact that, you know, we think we have it bad now. And we were at like 17%, with interest rates. Can you imagine trying to buy a house at that time or finance a car? So you're right, it is a lot better. But that malaise that we had back then, I'm thinking that it's at least as bad today. And because we've got other factors going on, because it's not just high interest rates. It seems like everything, you know, supply of product, that's not on the shelves, and obviously the cost of gasoline and everything else. Your thought on that?
And for that, the Fed controls the money supply, but the things you're talking about, Congress can actually do something about that, because those problems can be solved by lifting trade barriers, by loosening regulations. Zoning and permitting regulations are preventing everything from new housing construction to bring down housing prices, to new energy exploration to bring down energy prices. These are avoidable problems that are caused by bad regulations. So in addition to the Fed doing what it needs to do on the monetary front to bring inflation down, all those non-inflation price increases in housing and energy and food, regulation and trade, bad policies are responsible for the bulk of those price increases. So there is a lot of work to do, and I unfortunately do not have the faith in Congress to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I don't either. You know, the Democrats in particular like to say that it's not just the United States that's going through all of this, that it's the entire world, and I think they're right. But I'm wondering, it seems to me that everything started, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, everything seemed to start when we decided that we were going to stop drilling for gas product here in this country and shut down pipelines, not shut them down, but you know what I mean, curtail the building of new pipelines, curtail our fracking. Everything, it seems like, when you start with energy and you start to limit your ability to accumulate energy, everything else kind of goes from there because, you know, to even get any product of any kind, you got to have gasoline in the trucks that deliver the product.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know, there's a big push for renewables and green energy and all that, which is fine, but you can't block off other options in the meantime while those technologies still struggle to become viable. There's a good chance they will become viable, but subsidies aren't going to get us there, and walling off other affordable energy sources isn't going to solve the problem either. In fact, it's making things worse from here on the home economic front to some of our foreign policy objectives abroad, especially including Russia. So, yeah, it's maybe open things up instead of close them down would be a better approach.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Ryan, how long do you... I know you're not going to be able to really tell, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway. How long do you think this mess with the economy is going to last? I mean, it's eventually got to go the other way. Any chance that we're going to get it sooner rather than later?
I think inflation is already past its peak, but even best case scenario, it's going to stay high well into next year. If their target rate is 2% and the headline number is still above 8, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
The labor market looks good. There are other things I'd like to see go up, like labor force participation. You still have a lot of people who are able to work and aren't. That's not the most severe problem. We've had much worse in the recent past. So that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And economic growth, I want to be optimistic about that, but there are just so many barriers in place from trade to regulation that there's the willpower, there's the ideas, there's the people with good work ethics, but regulations are getting in the way.
Yeah.
So we might have slow growth for a while yet.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think it's a good answer you gave. Ryan, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. I thank you so very much. Stay safe, and I know we'll talk again soon.
You too, Paul, especially with that hurricane.
Yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate that. We appreciate that. Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay, going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about how Democrats are starting to finally realize what trouble they are in with the off-year elections. And we may get a call from our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over 4 decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on right now what looks like a very pleasant sunny day here in Tampa Bay, but we are dreading what's coming. We are dreading what's coming. Hurricane Ian is on its way. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I wish I was in a place like, oh, I don't know, maybe Rochester, New York, Ed, you know, where you don't ever have a hurricane to worry about.
Oh, they got all those illegal aliens being dumped up there. No,
yeah.
No,
you'd rather be here?
Hey, by the way, real quickly, I went and got my hair cut this weekend at Andrews.
Oh, good.
Guess who's back?
Oh, don't tell me the Trump poster.
Yes, he is.
Really?
He's back up. The flags are back. The dolls are back.
Well, I am delighted. Now, what we're talking about here is our beloved Andrew the Master Barber used to have a life-size standing poster of Donald Trump. And you would go in, and I mean, it was 6 feet tall. And he put it away for a little while. I think he was a little bothered by some of the endorsements that Trump had, but it's back, and I'm glad to hear it. That's very good. Hey, speaking about Andrew, we got his wonderful brother, Angelo Ceresi, joining us. And Angelo, we're all worried about this Hurricane Ian. You don't ever have to worry about those kinds of things in Rochester, do you?
It's raining all day. Yeah, we just worry about the snow and the cold weather.
Yeah.
You know, we get that, what do they call it, the
lake effect.
Vortex, the northern vortex that we get up here sometimes.
Do you get lake effect? Do you get what's called lake effect?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We get that lake effect. So every time you have a nor'easter coming up, we get the nor'easter, then on the other side of the storm, we get the lake effect snow as the wind changes around over the lakes.
Okay.
So we get a double whammy.
Yeah. So we're talking today a little bit about, I think a lot of Democrats are finally coming to the realization that, speaking about a whammy, that they are in for a real double whammy in November. Even the talk shows, you start watching them now, and it's no longer a matter of whether or not they're going to lose the House. In fact, whether or not they're going to lose the Senate. It's like, well, we're going to have to lick our wounds, and, you know, maybe our messaging isn't too good right now, and now we've got the, what is that thing called, the commitment with America, or commitment to America, that new Republican agenda that Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, you know, has brought up. Let me ask you this, Angelo, this commitment to America, do you think it's a good idea on the Republicans' front?
Absolutely. In fact, Newt Gingrich was saying the same thing, that the Republicans should put out a commitment to America, like he did back in the 90s, and spell out the message, what has to be done. Because you know these candidates, they're not debating the Republican candidates, right? They're holding out, but they got early voting. And you got the goofy guy in Pennsylvania who's waiting until the end of October.
You're talking about Fetterman.
Fetterman. That wants to debate the end of October, just before election.
Yeah, October 25th.
In the meantime, you've got early voting going on. No, that's a good idea, putting out that commitment to America. Because the Democrats really don't have a message at all, except a conspiracy and ruining our democracy. That's mm-hmm. all they can do.
Yeah, you're talking about John Fetterman and his race in Pennsylvania with Mehmet Oz. And Oz is begging the guy to come forward and do a debate sooner rather than later. But I've listened to this Fetterman guy. I don't think, with all due respect, I think he's got some issues.
He does.
Yeah.
Not only is he sick, but he's way off the register on the left. He's falling off the edge where he wants to pack the courts. He wants to be the 51st vote to change everything. He's telling you what he's going to do, and if the American people, you know, want this.
He's
guy,
also big
know,
on
God
letting
bless,
people out of jail. Yeah, he's also big on
letting people out of jail.
Letting people out of jail early.
Right, but he's not the only Democratic candidate that doesn't want to debate. There's other candidates, Democratic candidates, that don't want to debate mm-hmm. because they cannot. Really, in good conscience, tell the American people what they want to do.
Yeah.
They don't have anything.
We're talking
they destroyed this country.
We're talking with Angelo Cerasi. We call him our eye in the northern sky, and he's in New York. Speaking of New York, the Attorney General, Letitia James, is
most
going...
Most corrupt Attorney General we have ever had.
Okay. She told everybody before she got elected she was going to go after Donald Trump, and she's making good on that.
Right. That was her whole campaign spiel, going after Donald Trump. And now, you know, because she's really hurting in the polls right now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the election for Attorney General is very close. You know, and plus, you know, she went after Cuomo. She's just as bad as Cuomo. I mean, he handpicked her to run for Attorney General, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but she's all corrupt. And the American people, New Yorkers, see that.
And the timing of both the raid on Donald Trump's Florida home, and then this whatever it is, the charges that she publicly brings up about his companies, kind of, you know, both coming just before the November elections. Very, very political, it seems to me. So we got the
it's all political. Mm-hmm. All political.
Yeah.
I mean, even reducing the prices of our gasoline the gasoline prices going down is all political. All he's doing is releasing the oil reserves, emptying our reserves, you know, and if you people realize that after this election, if they win, it's only going to go back up again because they don't want us to use our cars.
Right. Speaking about the price of gasoline, what is it right around you in Rochester right now per gallon?
Well, we got a couple of stations are 365, 357.
Okay, so you it's know, under four.
It's under $4 right now.
Okay, and it has dropped a little bit. Okay, here in Tampa Bay, we're about 330 something right now. But I don't know. People are still going to remember what it was like at the beginning of Biden's tenure.
And, I sure hope so.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And the store shelves
are empty.
They're empty. The price, and when you find the product, of course, it's more expensive. Everybody can see that. I just can't see. We did, before you came on, and I don't know if you had a chance to hear us, we talked about this new poll that came out. I think it's an ABC poll. And basically, the Republicans are winning on almost every front now. On every major economic, including crime.
We've had almost 60 homicides here in Rochester.
Yeah,
a sanctuary city.
That's another thing. People have lost faith in the ability of these cities to keep bad people away.
Right.
I mean, the most egregious of crimes. I'm looking at this rampage in another convenience food store, Wawa, I think it is. Where they just completely they just came in and completely trashed the inside of the store. You got major CEOs of retail chains saying, you know, they're not going to stay in some of these cities for very much longer.
They're losing their shirts.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, and you cannot trust the law enforcement agencies that we have, like the FBI. They're corrupt. The Attorney General we got here in New York State is corrupt just by doing her things political, taking away our Second Amendment. Here's an Attorney General. She's going after a fictitious crime on Trump instead of stating what the New York governor did by taking away our Second Amendment right where you cannot carry a firearm anywhere. Instead of saying it's unconstitutional. You know, and by the time it gets to the Supreme Court, it's years, you know. I mean, this whole thing, it's all corrupt. New York State is one of the most corrupt states you could ever want to live in. Then they wonder why people are leaving.
Now, the governor of your state is up for election, right? Kathy Hochul is up for election in November?
Yes, and Lee Zeldin is closing the gap.
I was going to ask you, I'm wondering if the state of New York, despite the city, which is always going to be a liberal bent,
right,
if there's any chance for Lee Zeldin.
I'm hoping. I mean, if the people in New York City realize what's happening with the crime rate and everything out there, I mean, how can you vote her back in? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're a staunch Democrat and you're living in a crime-riddled area, how could you possibly vote for these people?
Yeah.
It's like misery loves company. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Are you satisfied? Are you happy with the murders and the crime that's going on? The bail reform that they have? The police arrest the people, they're out within 24 hours? Maybe less.
Now, are you...
to do the crime all over again.
Now, Rochester is a sanctuary city, correct?
Yes.
Have you had any of the migrants dropped off at your... in your town?
If it hasn't been on the news.
Right.
Because the media we have up here are just as liberal and just like the rest of the media.
They would bring it up, wouldn't they, if Rochester had a bunch of them dropped off, right?
If we had a bunch of them, I'm sure they would have brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. they're bringing up the crime rate. I mean, they're bringing up the homicides that are happening every day. You know,
What did you think of the Florida governor and the Texas governor busing or flying these migrants into these sanctuary cities?
I love it. I wish Governor Sanders was our governor and Governor Abbott. They're absolutely great doing what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
Especially Martha's Vineyard.
Wasn't that something?
It goes to show you how hypocrites these people really are.
Of course. Now, let me ask you...
Maybe they had to call in the National Guard in Martha's Vineyard.
We're talking with our eye in the northern sky, Angela Ceresi. Now, let me ask you about the possibility of Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, considering the presidency in two more years now, almost. So, do you have any thoughts, feelings, worries, concerns? You like one over the other, you know? Do you think, or do you want to see that kind of a contest, or should maybe DeSantis stay as governor and Trump stay as running for president? What do you think?
Well, you have to wonder. You have to say what is the best for the country, right? If they're going to keep going after Trump, and which they're going to, no matter what, they've been going after him since the day he came down that escalator. Then maybe Ron DeSantis should run for governor, or run for president. And I know you people love him as governor down there, and would hurt you people by him becoming president. You know, I think Ron DeSantis would be a great president.
Yeah, it's amazing.
If Donald Trump runs, I'm going to support him. If Ron DeSantis runs, I'll support him.
What if they're both on the ticket?
If they were both on the ticket?
Yeah. What if in the primary, both DeSantis and Trump's name were on your primary in New York?
Wow.
I won't force you to make a decision. I'm just...
I have to see how the climate of the country is going.
No, that's a good answer.
I have to see how the climate of the country is. I'd have to see what, these charges that are against the president. I mean, they're all phony, let's face it. I believe that they're all phony charges. And if you believe that, you have to go with Donald Trump, because it's all, it's all made up BS.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just
yep.
Like, if you believe in God, if you believe in a higher authority, and you believe in God, you have to go with God, right? If you have that belief, that firm belief that the impeachments were false, all this stuff that brought up against Donald Trump is false. And here's the guy that did the job, didn't even take the money for it, right?
Yeah, he's not getting paid for being president. He never took a penny.
He didn't get paid for being president. I mean, you have to believe all the stuff that they trumped up, pardon the expression there.
Right.
All the charges that they said about him is all false. I'd have to go with Donald Trump.
Okay.
But if Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis ran together,
that'd be a tough
that's
one.
The dream team.
Oh, and you mean it's like a president and vice president. Okay.
Vice president. And then Donald Trump, after 4 years, or less than that, maybe retires, and Ron DeSantis becomes president. You know what I'm saying? Just to get the gall of the Democrats.
Let's turn that around. How about a DeSantis/Trump ticket?
That's a dream team right there.
Trump would never take seconds.
Why not? I mean, you always want the best quarterback and backup quarterback in the game. Why not?
His ego wouldn't allow it. He would turn it down.
He wouldn't have to bear as much as the load.
The country, if you love the country as you say you do, and you want what's best for the country, you toss those egos aside. Correct?
It'll never be. You're not going to have. You might have Trump DeSantis, but I bet $1 million never going to have DeSantis.
And a true vice president does have a lot of duties, despite sitting home, ignoring the border, and going off to Japan.
Yes.
And making kids commercials and stuff like that.
With actors that aren't really kids. Okay. Hey, thanks so much. We got to run, my friend, but always good to talk with you, Angelo. Thank you very much for calling in.
My pleasure.
All right,
sir. Thank you.
Okay. Angelo Ceresi. All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, guess what major city is hiring civilians to bolster its police force and stave off crime there? We're going to let you know.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, You new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. It's the last Monday in the month of September, by the way. But we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. And God willing, you're listening to us live when you can. But thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are put on our website, on tape, on podcast, and you can go there and listen to any one of them. He puts all the latest shows at the top. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top of the website, and away you go, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, listen to this. New Orleans, the Big Easy. Maybe they're going to change the name to the Big Queasy. The New Orleans Police Department is hiring civilians to help with staffing issues and allow for more of the real police to get on the streets and go walking down Bourbon Street and all the other places in New Orleans. Because you know that New Orleans is now the murder capital of the world, of the country. It's very sad. But they have the highest crime rate, and they have a huge murder spike. New Orleans overtook St. Louis as the murder capital of the country this month, notching 52 homicides per 100,000 residents. Now, that's a lot. Homicides have increased in New Orleans by 78% this year compared to last year. So something's not happening.
All I can say is I hope that they're checking the background of these people they're hiring, that they don't have criminal records themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder how they do figure that out. I'm sure that they have to look into their backgrounds. I think what they're going to do, though, you see, with the civilians, is put them in desk jobs and take those real police that are sitting behind the desk and get them back out on the street. That's what they're going to do. You can't hire a civilian and say, hey, here's a 38. Here's a squad car.
You know, there's always,
why'd you go cruising down Bourbon Street? No, there's always
one that falls through the crack, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ex-murderer.
Hey, patrolling
streets of New Orleans.
Yeah. Hey, look, everybody, I got a badge. I got a badge and a gun.
I told you.
Oh, God. All right. Before we get to our top 10, it's a good top 10, by the way, I got to ask Ed about the game last night, Sunday night. Our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosted the Green Bay Packers. What happened there? It was a very exciting game.
Well, the problem is that you were not available and I was not available to catch passes from Tom Brady.
Yes.
Because everybody else in the world was out there catching passes. The problem is Bucs wide receiver Mike Evans was suspended. Would have made a big difference in that game last night. I'm sorry. And then the other part, it's going to start coming through, and you can start hearing it week after week. They've Rob Gronkowski, our former tight end, the big guy, they got to get him back.
You think that Rob Gronkowski
will
come back?
Will make a difference. I think if Tom calls him up and say, hey, how about half a season? You know, you don't have to go through training camp and all that
half
stuff.
Half a season.
Half a season will make a difference.
The good old days, huh? Well, you know, in spite of, as I was watching the game, we being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, had a chance to tie the game at the very end. They actually scored and needed a two-point conversion to tie the game.
Yeah.
Very exciting game.
And they had a false start on the two-point conversion, and that play would have worked.
Yeah, it seemed like it would have worked.
That game would have been tied.
I think you got to give Tom Brady credit. I think he did the best that he could have done. There were some very key fumbles by the Bucs in that game as well. Okay. Yeah. All right, Ed, it's time for our top 10. And if people remember, on Friday, we gave you the top 10 states with the worst road rage. Now, this is according to Forbes magazine. By the way, Forbes analyzed 10 key metrics from a survey of 5,000 drivers across the country to identify the states with both the most and the least, I guess you could call it least road rage. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to, now do you remember what the state was with the most road rage? I'm wondering, Ed, if you remember. I know you got a lot on your mind. It surprised both of us.
Like Iowa?
It was Utah.
Utah,
okay. So here we go. Top 10 states with the least road rage. Number 10, Tennessee. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. People are happy in Tennessee.
They're friendly and they're happier in Tennessee.
There's only like four traffic lights in there anyway.
Well, you know, you got two cities there.
Nashville
and Memphis.
Yeah.
Okay, number 9. South Carolina. Another one.
Yeah.
Friendly. It's a very friendly state. In fact,
I think North Carolina's going to be way up there.
You think?
Yeah.
Way up there in terms
of... Top five.
Oh, you think? Okay, we're going to find out. Number 8. Well, right next door, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Georgia can be a busy area around Atlanta.
Yeah.
But apparently the road rage is under control in Georgia. All right, number 7. Virginia. Now, that surprised me.
Yeah. I thought that might be on the other list.
I agree with you. I would have thought it's on the other list. But Virginia... maybe it because everybody around Washington, D.C. is on some sort of a drug, and they mellow out.
Right.
Anyway, number 6. Would you believe the Lone Star State, Texas?
Hmm.
Now, that's a wide-open state.
That's a big area, too.
Yeah, you know, states, you know, it's our biggest continental state in geography. So you got a lot of driving room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 5. This will shock you. New York.
Wow.
I would never.
Well, you know,
it's in the top 5 of the least road rage.
Not a lot of people drive in New York, especially in the city. You know, they always take cabs.
Well, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that. So, in other words, New York City, people are smart enough to realize.
A lot of people don't own cars.
They're smart enough to realize, why should I try to drive into the city?
Yep.
Number 4. Florida. Florida. Mm. What do you think about that one?
I don't know. We kind of have our moments, you know?
Yeah.
You always hear about Florida, man. You know?
I thought Florida could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Florida could go either way. Number 3. Michigan. Mm. That's another state, actually. I believe it. Michigan is outside of Detroit. It's a rather, you know, it's a farming state, lots of things like that. Number 2, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Pennsylvania. Okay. I thought Philadelphia were the people are the angriest people, supposedly, are in Philadelphia, or maybe it's Boston, I don't know. But Pennsylvania is the second best.
Mm.
Second best. All right. What do you think, Ed? Any idea?
I'll go with North Carolina.
Well, you're half right.
Okay.
It is a state that starts with North.
Oh, well.
But it's not Carolina.
Well, Dakota?
Yes.
Oh, nobody drives up there. You get a couple of...
You can't find anybody to get mad at.
A couple of cows and some, you know...
Oh, come on now. There are some nice places. It's a beautiful state, actually. Fargo is there. Yeah. And anyway, North Dakota. They are a friendly group. There you go. All right. Everybody, stay safe. Those of you here in Tampa Bay, keep your eye on the weather. And do remember, the freedom works.